Lord, thank you for revealing your word to us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to have the ability to read and to understand, to comprehend. I thank you that there is portions of your word that are difficult to understand, that we're not going to be able to fully comprehend until we get to heaven. But Lord, your word as a whole is so easy that the youngest believer can understand and grasp it. Lord, I thank you that we serve you a God that is not hid from us. Lord, that we can find out about who you are. We can even more so have a relationship with you. I pray that you'd help us to see that more clearly tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 23, obviously known as the Psalm. It starts off, a very popular Psalm, starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd." So we're going to look at tonight our good shepherd, our Savior, our Lord, and how he is characterized here as a shepherd. You know, I do not have any experience as a shepherd. I've been a farmer my whole life, but I have not been a shepherd. But specifically, I did work with a lot of animals growing up. I was able to work on a farm, and my a deacon in our church had, and I've talked about different stories there. But one year, I was able to work a summer on the operational staff at a camp. I was able to go back there a few summers later and work there for a few years on the program staff and as a counselor. But when I was 16, I worked there on the operational staff, meaning that I did a lot of mowing, I did a lot of upkeep of the grounds. But that specific summer, the theme was a Western theme, and so we did a rodeo at the camp, and it was a lot of fun. But the camp leadership thought it'd be an awesome idea to be able to bring in some different animals. And so we had a bunch of chickens, a ton of chickens, which I had some experience working with. But then they also had a couple horses that we had some wranglers come in and handle. But then they also brought in 7 pigs. Now, my grandfather was a pig farmer, but he sold most of his pigs before I was old enough to really understand. The pig market really went bad, and it was only the people that were only able to do it were the really large corporations. So I didn't really have a lot of experience with pigs. And these were younger pigs. They were probably maybe like that tall, maybe about that long. So they were fairly good size, but they weren't huge. But they were kept in some makeshift pens behind a warehouse that we'd work at a lot. And I was always kind of curious how well that they were going to hold the animals. One day, I was working with a guy who was a few years older than me, but he had some different special needs. He was a little bit slower in some areas, but it was really fun working with him. He was a really great guy. But he had a hard time verbalizing what he wanted to say sometimes. And so we're working in a wood shop. We're putting some lacquer and stain on some boards. And he's facing out, and I'm facing in. And all of a sudden, he just like stops working. He's like, he just goes like that. And I was like, "What's up?" And he's like, "Pigs." And I was like, "What?" I like turn around, and like I turn around just in time to see all 7 pigs just go flying by the door. And there's a highway out, right, it's a 2-lane highway, but cars would go like 80 miles an hour around this corner. And I was like, "Well, we're about to have bacon if I don't get those things taken care of." And so it's just me and this guy, and I'm trying to herd them and trying to get in front of them. And I've helped bring in lost cows and stuff like that before. Cows are a little bit easier to predict where they're going to go sometimes, not always. But the pigs, they are just going all over the place. And wouldn't you know it, I was able to get all but one back into the pen. There's always that one. And we could go a whole lot of different places in Scripture with that story. But there's just one, and he's going back and forth, and he's like having fun with me. Because I would get kind of close to him, and then he would just like get down. And then I would move closer, and then he'd take off one direction. Well, I finally worked my way closer, and I had my friend Joel. He was kind of standing there, and the pig was watching him. And I came up a little bit behind the pig, and I made a leaping grab for him. But right as I did that, he just took off, and I just ate the gravel. And I mean, I went face first down into it. I had gravel in my hand stuck in it, and I was like done with the pig. I wanted to have bacon at that point. And we finally were able to get him a back corner in this corner in one of the buildings and got him in there, got him put away. And my friend Joel is like standing there. I was like, "Oh, that was crazy." He's like, "Fun pigs." I was like, not really. That wasn't very fun. But as I think about a shepherd and the idea of the shepherd here, that was just 7 pigs. When you think about sheep and everything that you hear about sheep, I've worked with sheep a little bit, nothing really major, and you can kind of tell that they don't really have large brains, that they do just kind of what everybody else does. You know, I'm sure you've heard the stories before, if you stick something out in front of a sheep and there's like 100 of them going by, you stick something out in front of the front one, it jumps over it, you pull that back, all 100 of the sheep will jump because the sheep in front of them jumped, so they thought they needed to jump as well. And when you think about the parallelism that we see all throughout Scripture many times, but in Psalm 23 as well, about how the Lord is our shepherd and we are the sheep. You consider our condition and how we are being compared to a sheep. You might take some offense at that, but then you begin to understand what we act like, and if we're honest with ourselves, how we really truly do act like sheep many, many times, and how we are running away from the Lord, how we are avoiding being led by the Good Shepherd. And you understand the analogy that's used here would have been very well understood by the people that were reading this at the time. They understood what it was like to deal with sheep. Many of them were shepherds. And if they were not themselves shepherds, they knew what it was like to deal with that. As we go through Psalm 23, I want us to keep that image in mind of the Lord as our shepherd and we as the sheep. And how does that apply to this passage? So verse 1, a truth that we can see about our God. As we're looking through these verses, I want us to understand the truths that we're looking for. The first truth we can see is that God provides. God provides. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The very first thing that the psalmist here begins with is the idea that as the shepherd is over us and taking care of us, we are not in need of want. You see, a sheep that has a good shepherd never realizes that they are in need of anything because everything is provided for them. Everything is taken care of because they are trusting in that shepherd to just do his job. They may not even realize it. But you see, when we follow after the one true good shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everything is provided for us. Matthew 6, 31 through 32 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.'" Our heavenly Father, our shepherd, understands our needs. He knows what we need in order to continue about in our life. And he provides that for us. We are not in want when we are following after our shepherd. Going to verse 2. We see that God gives rest and refreshment. God gives rest and refreshment. Verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." God, furthermore, not only does he just provide the basic necessities, he understands the need for rest and refreshment. God allows us to be led beside the proverbial still waters and into the green pastures. God takes care of us because he cares for us, because he loves us. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus speaking said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When we are burdened down by the trials of life, when the things are going hard and we don't know where to turn and it just feels like we have no hope, we can go to God and he will give us rest. And we've talked about this before. Many times we like to go to many other things. We like to try to find rest in the security and the things of the world and in our own strength. And yet that gets us nowhere. It might bring some temporary rest, but nothing that is everlasting. And we need to realize that we can go to our Lord, and that is the only place that we should go to find true rest and refreshment. And then number 3, we see that God heals and guides. God heals and guides. Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." The first part there, he restores my soul. How many times have you needed God to restore your soul? To bring about that healing in your life that no other person or no other thing can truly bring about. Psalm 147, verse 3, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." I think it'd be safe to say that each one of us at one point in our life has gone through something or maybe multiple things where our heart has been broken. Where we have been just torn up by what has been happening to us, and we are in need of healing. And we need to realize that the only place we can go to find that healing is to our shepherd, is to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we need to understand along with it, he heals, he also guides. If we follow our Lord's leading, he is not going to lead us astray. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding." We can't lean into what we know is true. We can't lean into what we think is good. We have to trust in the Lord. We have to acknowledge Him in everything that we do. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then what does He promise to do? He will direct our paths. He will show us where to go. And then number four, God strengthens and protects. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." When we're going even through the difficult situation, we're going through that valley, we're going through those hard times, God is there for us and He strengthens us and protects us. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He is our heavenly shepherd. And remember, who can we do all things through? Philippians 4:13, through Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see, without Christ, we are able to do very small, minuscule things in the realm of everything. But with Christ, we can do all things because He strengthens us. Isaiah 41:10, as we think about how God protects us, one of my favorite verses, it gives the idea of how the Lord protects us and gives us that strength. About that protection in the understanding of the passage here, when it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You think about what the shepherd used that rod and that staff for: to clear the way from brush, from thorns, to beat off attacks of wild animals, to bring about that protection to the flock. That's exactly what our Lord and Savior does for us. He protects us. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand, with the right hand of my righteousness." God promises to strengthen us. God promises to uphold us. But we have to follow after where He is leading us. We have to follow His leading in order for Him to bring about that strength and that protection. And then number five, we see God provides and blesses. We see a little bit of a change in the image used here. In verse 5, we see the Lord presented as a host, as a host of a banquet. It says in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." We have the picture here of God presenting this feast and doing it in the presence of our enemies. But you see, because we are being presented to this by our Lord, by our shepherd, there is no fear on our part because we are under His protection. And when it says there that He anoints my head with oil, this is the idea that we are an honored guest, that the Lord specifically desires us. And that as was the custom back then, when guests would come into these feasts, they would anoint their head with a little bit of oil. And the idea here is that they were honored guests, and that is what we are before our Lord and Savior, before our shepherd, before our King, before our Savior. We are honored guests. But then as you see in the second part, "My cup runneth over." You see, this once again brings about the image of the provision that the Lord provides for us and how it overflows our needs and our expectations. How it goes beyond what we think we need and what we need. The Lord is always there providing for us. He gives to us bountifully. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." My God shall supply all your needs. And when you understand, this isn't all the needs that we think that we have. It's the needs that we truly have. It's the needs that God is going to provide for us. And God promises to supply all of those according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, I want us to see that our God grants goodness and mercy. Verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Think of that promise. If we can't remember anything else tonight, I want us to think about how the Lord promises to bless us for eternity. Promises to give us that goodness and that mercy for eternity. Aren't we thankful that the goodness of the Lord never runs out? Aren't we thankful that His mercy is everlasting? As we talked about a couple weeks ago, that there's never a point where that mercy just stops being applied to us. That mercy is always there for us. Psalm 119:68, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." God is a good God. He is a good shepherd, and he does good. It goes with his character to act good. And that goodness is then applied to us. And then his mercy. Ephesians 2:4-5, the passage we looked at a couple weeks ago. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." Folks, that mercy and that goodness are continually applied to us. And then ultimately, as believers, what is the promise that we can really dwell on? That we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That one day, eventually, we will be in heaven with him, and we will spend eternity with him. Folks, this psalm is one of the ones, like I said, that is the most familiar to most of us, I would assume, and most people out in the world. If you ask them to say a psalm, if they know what that means, they would probably say Psalm 23. Because it's one of the most quoted. But even a psalm that we're very familiar with, we can go back through in times where we're needing hope from God, we're needing truths about God, and we can dig into it, and we can find out truths from our Lord. It takes a very small amount of time to come and look at this passage and be able to see many truths about our God, to see right from the beginning that I shall not want because I can trust in my shepherd, to be able to see that he provides for us, that he strengthens us, that he gives us that safety, that he gives us that mercy and that goodness for eternity. Folks, we need to read through God's word, looking to see the promises that apply to us, that we can better understand our Lord and our Savior, so that we can then be better equipped to go throughout our days, trusting in him. And then when we have that foundation, when we have that going on in our lives, what are we then able to do? By giving that glory to the Lord and how we're living, we can then be looking for opportunities, as we learned this morning, to be a testimony to those around us. Folks, when we're so trusting in our Lord and understanding his goodness to us and how his mercy is always being applied to us, we can be an amazing testimony to those around us. We can point them to the creation that is around us. And we can point them to our Lord and our Savior and our Good Shepherd, who is not just a person that is up on a crucifix in a church. He is in heaven at the right hand of his Father. He did die for us, but he left that cross. He left that grave, and he is alive right now. And we can serve him, and we can show our love back to him for everything that he has blessed us with. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these few moments we could spend in Psalm 23. Lord, a psalm that we more than likely are all familiar with, but I pray we would never get complacent in our understanding of your word. You would help us always to be searching your word to find out more about you. I pray that these truths would be an encouragement tonight, Lord, that we would be able to apply them to our lives as we go forth. Thank you for all these things that you have blessed us with. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor Andy.